We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, we discuss the Colorado Rockies series split against the Milwaukee Brewers very nearly, very easily on just a couple of plays in those last two games. Could have been a series sweep, which could have been a home stand sweep for the Colorado Rockies. So in some ways, Patrick, a kind of disappointing series. That said, the Milwaukee Brewers came in one of the hottest teams in baseball. Still plenty of good play to dive into here. Of course, the four home runs in an inning where the Rockies come storming back to make it a ball game today. Obviously, a lot of good individual play. Some scary news in the set with Austin Gomber. Sadly, unfortunately, going to have to make a trip to the IL that we hope is quick and with quick return. We'll keep our eyes on all those things, but kind of a lot going on in these four games with the Brew Crew in town.
And maybe the biggest news is something that's more off the field, and that is baseball really being back and Colorado baseball fans being back. 118,000 plus over the course of this four-game series, which included a Thursday night that had a really good crowd. Yeah. And fans are back at Coors Field in anticipation of the All-Star game and really just in anticipation of watching some competitive baseball, even if it might not be competitive on the road. It is definitely entertaining at home and is definitely exciting. So hats off to all you baseball fans and all you fathers out there that were at the ballpark today. And if you were there yesterday, you also got a Trevor Story bobblehead over the course of both days of the weekend. And so really feels like summer's here. We saw it with the heat wave that we had over the course of the past week. And so, you know, baseball's back here on the front range. It's fantastic. And it's great to see the Rockies playing competitively, even if it is at just at home, right? They're beating really good teams because for a while they were really beating up on the bad teams. We saw them sweep the Diamondbacks.
You're
really bad if you haven't swept the Diamondbacks at least once this year. But they and they were somewhat holding their own, but really, you know, getting beat out by some of the more talented plus 500 clubs. And here this week, you know, they split with the Brewers, who had only lost two series on the road all season long, and sweep the San Diego Padres. So hats off to all those guys.
Yeah, Patrick, I think the thing that struck me about this little mini winning streak that the Colorado Rockies went on here, and I tweeted it out from the account, in addition to what you were just saying, not just the quality of the opponent, but the quality of the opposing pitcher, that the guys that they faced. We talked about this a bit with Goody, but then it continued. We saw him get Lamet, Darvish, and Snell, and then you and I both went, okay. But Woodruff, but then no, we were actually, it was once they went with Burns, that's the one where we're like, no, this is where it ends. Corbin Burns, they're done. We were like, okay, once Woodruff, you have four really great pitchers in a row, But this guy's been nails. We actually talked exactly specifically about his high run mark on the year being 4, exactly what the Rockies managed to get against him. He left an inherited runner out there as well. So there was a chance to bring in that 5th run and give him his season high. We talked very specifically about that. But even though they didn't come out and like surprise the hell out of him the way they did Woodruff and like put that 5 spot on him early, they had to kind of eat away at him a little bit, finding ways to win both of those games. I was like, yeah. And even as we talked about losing the way they did in these last couple with how the Brewers have been playing on the road, and it was right there. And you go, they still played good baseball games the last 2 days, even though they lost.
Very good.
On the road when they play like crap and lose.
Yeah, no, it was very good. In fact, I almost liken the series to the opening set against the Dodgers, where they won on opening day. They lost the last 3, and they were competitive.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at the scores, it wasn't that they were competitive. The scores really weren't that close. At no point did you think the Rockies may come back. Like, they're only down 2, they're only down 3. You never had that sense, and you go, hey, thumbs up, kudos, good try. It also makes you think of the Red Series, where they won the first 2 games, then were in position to win the final 2 and totally blew it. It was embarrassing. And here you've got,
yes,
winning 2, losing 2, but in it every single game, getting blown out 6-0. They score 6 runs in the 6th with 4 home runs, their first time doing it all season long. And even in that final inning, you go, they could pull this out. More Father's Day magic. It happened once with Arenado. Fuentes hit the game-tying home run,
right,
to make it 6-6, and you go, McMahon's coming off the bench. The 2 guys that are kind of taking Arenado's place, you know, passing the torch, it's all there. Doesn't happen, but still much better than the narratives from the opening series with the Dodgers and the ones against the Reds.
I thought about that Red series as well, as this was going down, especially when they were down 6-0, and you're going, okay, they're going to split this thing. But even then, even without the comeback, you're feeling like still they play better. They're playing better. We're seeing the growth. We're going to get into some of the individual play here in just a second. But I'd kind of resigned to that, like, yeah, okay, still not as bad. I immediately thought of that Red set where it was just like they should have beaten those guys in all of those games. They had every opportunity to, and they coughed it up. Whereas the Brewers are a good team playing well. The home run that Willy Adames hit off of Tyler Kinley is that's a tip your cap moment. First of all, the Rockies are down to like their 4th option at closer, right? So you're hoping Kinley gets you out of there. And the slider, he threw him low and away right where he wanted, off the plate even a little bit. Guy takes it out the other way. That's a fantastic hit from a fantastic hitter. It swings a baseball game. Well done. You know, and kind of today in this one too, with Jace Peterson coming into the game and ended up being the difference on both sides there. He was a super sub late in the game. He comes in, he gets the leadoff single, didn't have to hit the ball well, just fought stuff off, made contact against a guy with heavy stuff, noticed that Bardo wasn't paying attention to him. So he steals second base, which made all the difference in the W. No way that flare shot from Vogelbach is bringing in a run if he doesn't take second. And then 2 big defensive plays against Tapia and Blackman, who hit hard grounders to first base that Vogelbach probably not going to field. So that's no. Baseball, man. That's great. That's you tip your cap to the Brewers and Jace Peterson for being a difference maker in a close ball game between 2 teams who are playing each other well and competitively. A great ball game out there today.
Yeah. You know, yesterday's game felt like it was a lot longer. It was 3 hours and 40 minutes, I think, was the final time. But it felt like it went on a lot longer than that. And that's because Craig Counsell's, you know, he's managing, and rightfully so. He's trying to, you know, win a NL Central pennant.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's making a lot of these double switches and really big moves and saying, look, I need everybody. I might need you all 9, or I might need you for a half the game, whatever it is. A lot of mixing and matching for a lineup that kind of had been struggling a little bit. And, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. ended up being productive, mainly because, you know, the Rockies really weren't giving him anything to hit, which was unfortunate. But, yeah, great breakdown on that with Peterson and what he was able to provide, especially defensively there, you know.
Yeah. Like, what were the odds that then you're going to hit two balls that are well struck to a place where they're normally rolling out a minus defender? And that's going to be extra bases for Tapia to start the ninth inning. You're almost certainly going to score.
The same guy who started the rally in the sixth, too.
Yeah.
With a single to extend his hit streak. 217 games, Daza homers, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on down the line. And so you say, hey, this is exactly how it's going to be. So I'm glad that you like those comparisons, because the next – there's only two more four-game sets at Coors Field coming up. The next one is right around the corner, four-game set with the St. Louis Cardinals. So that will be exciting to see if the Rockies can hang. Again, they won two against Cincinnati versus only one against the Dodgers. But that was a frustrating two, because it definitely could have been a lot more. This one, a lot of hat tipping to the Brewers, because they could have won all four. We'll see how they do against the Cardinals. And then at the end of the season, they'll have four against Atlanta. So that's kind of it's kind of interesting to think that in a four-game set, you go, well, this Rockies team, you know, not really going to be a contender. They're going to be at the bottom of the NL West. You know, teams are going to really beat up on them. They're going to go 1-3 in a lot of these. And it's only been one so far. And it's against the Dodgers, who most people would have guessed would have been 0-4. And no, they were able to sneak out an opening day victory.
Yeah. And if you're going to get three dubs in any of these, you want it to be the one against the Cardinals, of course.
You can
only pick one of them. So
on the 4th of July. And you don't want to win the first three and lose the fourth.
Yeah. No.
You give them one on Friday or Saturday. Yeah, that's fine.
Second one. You want them on the opener, you know. we're planning it out for sure. Well, I'll tell you what. You mentioned one of the guys. We got to toast our Breck Brews and our Breck Seltzies and our Strava Craft coffees on this day, too. And we can also get bigger Breck Brews. And you can get Strava Craft coffee cold brew and Wagyu beef burgers all down at the DNVR bar, and you get a bigger beer if you're a member of the family. That's just one of many, many things you get for subscribing to the DNVR.com. Go there today. Check it out. Super simple to find the stuff. Subscribe for the year long. You get access to all the written content, constant discounts on hats and masks, and access to the Discord channel to come and hang out with us, chat 24/7 about anything and everything under the sun. And right now, when you get that annual, we'll hook you up with a free shirt from the DNVR locker and a free holistic stick from Holistic Wellness. Check them out at holistikwellness.com and use promo code DNVR30 to get 30% off on all your CBD needs from them once you do have that free sample stick just for becoming a member of the family today. Come hang out with us. Join the most fun community of sports, certainly in Colorado. And I can't claim, because I know a lot of people who remember this, but you don't even have to be in Colorado, just a Colorado sports fan, because I know a lot of people don't even live in the state bounds. But man, we're having a blast out here, despite the fact that Avs and Nugs ended a little earlier than people wanted to. Broncos are in a weird place. We all know what's going on with the Rockies, but one thing we've got here at DNVR is each other, man, and it makes it so that you all remember those times when the team didn't have it, and those are the times you're looking back on when they're figuring it out years later, going, man, remember that time they hit four home runs in an inning and Josh Fuentes tied it up? And you know, those are the times you're talking about. Or maybe the time that Raimel Tapia went on and at least at this point we know 17 game hit streak. And Patrick, it's not, and I think I've made this comparison once before, but I want to make sure that I did say this on the show. I think I maybe said this on Twitter. This reminds me exactly of the player that I discovered in 2013 at that exact moment in Grand Junction when he was in the middle of a 29-game hit streak. And what I always tried to remind people was, and I've said this on the show before, during that time, he wasn't going 1-for-4 every night with a single through the right side. He was spraying doubles. He was getting hits this way and that way. He'd lay a bunt down every once in a while, the occasional double. No home runs, but it was two, sometimes three hits a night. And that's what we're seeing out there. This is not just a 17-game hit streak. So they don't have the numbers updated for today, but coming into today, in the 16 games, he was batting 438. on basing 453 and slugging 630. And then today, he got a couple of base hits and a walk.
He had two hits in that sixth inning.
Two hits in one inning.
Yeah.
Two hits in a, you can't, DraftKings won't give you the bet on whether or not he'll get a hit in a game. They should allow you to throw down some money on whether or not he'll get two hits in an inning.
Yeah. It, again, probably not going to be a big payout because that does happen a lot at home. And yeah, in that, in those 17 games, too, 12 of those 17 games have been multi-hit efforts. So, like, put that in perspective, right? So I think it was at the start of the month before his 17 game hit streak, he was at 253.
Yeah,
he was at 253 as a batting average on the year, and now he's at 306. So he's definitely lifted his average in a major way. I think going into today, he was in the National League. He was sixth, had the sixth lowest strikeout percentage, just behind Charlie Blackmon and just ahead of the cousin. And so he's putting the ball in play. He's creating action. He's doing the thing that we all want. He's doing the thing that MLB is struggling to try to get to happen, but wants it to happen without foreign substances, even though they put mud on a baseball and may create their own MLB approved foreign substance. There's a lot of craziness going on, but the one thing that isn't crazy in a clinical sense is Raimel Tapia. He's just crazy in the baseball sense. Just the way he's able to put bat to ball like that.
This is what's so funny to me, because the question about these types of players, as you were just talking about, this sort of panacea style of, you can't shift on him. You can't even really bring the infield in on him, because a hard hit ground ball anywhere with the infield in has a higher chance of getting through. There's just like so many things that you can't do, all the things you do in modern baseball to take. You can't pitch a certain way because you know he's trying to lift the ball in the air. So that way your only goal as a pitcher is to throw him stuff he can't lift in the air. It's like Tapia's fine hitting at 111 miles an hour on the ground because, yeah, sometimes it'll go right to the shortstop. And some people hate this brand of baseball. And they just hate it. And I get it. But one of the reasons why is because it's supposed to be unsustainable. It's supposed to stop. It was supposed to keep him from getting to Double A. And then it was supposed to keep him from getting to AAA. And then it was supposed to keep him from getting to the big leagues. And then it was supposed to keep him from ever becoming a regular starter. And then he was never supposed to be able to replicate what he did at the minors at the big league level. And now he's doing all of that. And I get why people are going, okay, but he's not going to be able to keep doing it. And there's a short list of guys that have. That's the other thing. It's true. Like the Kenny Loftins and the Ichiros and the Juan Pierres, and those guys are, they're exceptions to the rule. But we've got to allow people the chance to be exceptions to the rule. How do you not look at Raimel Tapia and see that this is quite obviously an exception to the rule type of baseball player? I mean, this is no joke. He's done this against, we listed the names of the pitchers too. You can't just go like, oh, okay, well, he caught a stretch, or he's just doing a thing. He did this in the minor leagues against the top 50 prospects. Like, he's not going to hit 430 for the rest of the year, folks.
He does have 33% of all home runs hit against Jacob DeGrom this season.
That's right, keep that in mind as well.
In fact, the Rockies have 67% of all the home runs. But forget about Ryan McMahon for a second. We'll big him up in a bit. But yeah, Tapia is doing that. So they've played 73 games. So there's quality in quantity, right? We look at OPS as being this marker of, you know, how good a player is. And you know, that's something that helped Larry Walker out because he was hampered a little bit by injuries. And you go, well, what if he was healthy? Well, we don't know, but when he was healthy, here's how good he was. And you saw it took all 10 years, the 10th and final year for him to finally get in. And you go, that he's great. And Raimel Tapia is not on the level of Larry Walker, right? No. And he never will be.
No.
But what we can say is that, you know what? What if Larry Walker had maybe been less aggressive, or just he couldn't have had a different game. His game was his style.
Right.
But there is still a value in that. You know, there is quality in quantity that I find, right? So, you know, there's been 73 games. He's played in 70 of them. It's the most of any National League outfielder. He has the third most hits of any National League outfielder. I think right now he's, as far as wins above replacement, he is about 10th most. So, I mean, again, that's someone who...
For a guy who has a really hard time accumulating WAR because he doesn't hit for power and because he plays at Coors Field, and because his defense is sometimes good and sometimes not, and defensive statistics have a hard time dealing with that, I'm surprised that he's 10th. I'm glad you're reading that one off, because I wouldn't have thought that his WAR would have been anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, WRC Plus doesn't like him as much. It has him at 98, but we know that's more of a Coors Field thing than anything. But
UPS Plus has him over at like 105 or 103 right now. So that's kind of interesting that there's that sort of difference. I believe he's still second amongst leadoff batters and RBI, not a stat a lot of people love, but part of that's because he's hitting over 400 with runners in scoring position because he doesn't strike out. That's a huge part of it. Also the RBI, the sacrifices. I also think it would be funny because the old argument, against don't use RBI, back when it was like Nolan or whatever, it's like he has an inordinate number of opportunities with guys on base and, Coors Field helps and you're going to drive in more runs. It's like, okay, look, Raimel Tapia is batting leadoff for the Colorado Rockies, these Colorado Rockies, who for the entire year have been running out an 8-hole hitter who's batting .150, whether it's been Diaz or Nunez, and then the pitcher spot. Those are the people batting in front of Raimel Tapia. So his high RBI total is not because he's just had just extreme wealth of opportunities. I was looking through the numbers the other day. We can get into this one later. But Joey Gallo has had far more RBI opportunities than Raimel Tapia this year and bats in the middle of the order and hits the ball over the wall and has fewer RBI on the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Tapia's second, even on Baseball Reference, second on the team in wins above replacement. Obviously, well behind Ryan McMahon. Chris Owings is 12th, who hasn't played since Scottsdale, I think. Yeah, he's on the comeback trail. Yeah, he should be activated off the IL. Connor Joe is expected to probably be the one that does go back down. So expect to see Chris Owings this week. Third is Garrett Hampson, and fourth might be a surprise for wins above replacement right now. Jonathan Daza is fourth.
Really?
Before you get to Herman Marquez is fifth, Josh Fuentes sixth, Gomber seventh, a little low down there. Crone eighth, Michael Givens ninth, Trevor Story, and John Gray, maybe you've heard of them, are 10th and 11th. And again, all of those numbers are very much compressed and are very close. And a good series will shift it around a little bit.
Right behind Michael Givens, just as we all had at this point in the season, just obviously, like we all had it, totally. But Story actually did look a lot better these last couple of days, hit a couple of big, big honking yonkers. I believe that's the technical term for the
H-wise. He had a couple of H-wise, honking yonkers.
Honking yonkers. He really appeared. I actually do think that despite the fact that, he had a monster jam in the middle of that whole comeback, my favorite thing from Story was just how excited he seemed for Joshua when he hit his that tied it up, and just that moment, that feeling, the forgetting about everything else and just being a member of a team and being excited to be a part of something. And that's my guy, and we're doing a thing, and we're all a part of this. I thought that was a pretty cool, fun, special moment. Maybe one of the last that we're going to. So we got to cherish those moments as we see them with Trevor in a Rockies uniform.
For sure. Yeah, he's starting to heat up. He was only activated off the IL on June 10th and wasn't able to get a hit in four games on the road. So that was his first home run since May 21st that he finally did get a hit in all seven games at home. So he's got himself a nice little streak. He lifted his batting average 21 points. So again, he's heating up at just the right time as a showcase piece, so to speak. And you're right. You got to cherish those moments. As far as other showcase pieces, as soon as Daniel Bard gets back on track, do you think he's got to go almost immediately? Are you worried about Bard? Is it tough out there? He's a cardiac guy. He really makes the heart start pumping.
I think the Brewers actually, it's been like four different times I feel like in a game against the Brewers, I've seen something that like absolutely pinpointed an issue. I'm thinking particularly of when Ryan Braun stole a base against Adam Ottavino in 2018. And I realized in that moment that Ottavino had a very real issue holding people on and controlling the run game. And the Brewers had just exposed that in the most obvious way possible by being not at all subtle about it. They just did the same thing with the left-handed hitters and Daniel Bard.
Precisely.
Daniel Bard has a very real left-handed hitter problem, which sucks when he's your closer because you want him to be able to go out and get the ninth no matter who is out there. But whoever you're trading Daniel Bard to, he's probably not going to be their closer. And if anyone who's acquiring him for some seventh, eighth inning, maybe even sixth inning duties, depending on who it is, can make sure that they're bringing him in and matching him up at a time in the game, you know, So I think it's weird because the Rockies can't, like, they can't only throw him against righties right now to best showcase him and show right. That to other people. But if he keeps going out there against lefties, get knocked around, you know, you've got to hope you just got to hope those numbers against righties maintain almost and point to that because it's a bummer. And it didn't even feel like he pitched terribly today. A couple of pitches caught too much of the zone, but he still got 99. He's still got a pretty wicked slider when he hits a spot. So, yeah, I would trade him as soon as possible, though. I do think to protect from exactly what I was just talking about, too many chances where those lefties are going to go up, make his overall numbers look worse.
Yeah. While he has struck out about twice as many lefties as righties in similar amount of innings pitched, lefties have a 351 batting average against him. Which you go, all right, that's pretty high. Well, that also equates to a 6.48 ERA against lefties. But righties are only batting 188, 1.35 ERA. So, again, definite splits that, you know, favor going against those right-handers. So that's been hard. That's been tough. But you're right. You can't set him up for success. He's the closer. That's it. He just has to have that job. Unless you do see Bud, you know, maybe mix and match a little bit. I like to see Estevez in that spot. It's funny. Yeah. I think it may have been Friday night. There were a lot of things that we were talking about on our second part of our Friday conversation saying, hey, who else is available down in AAA? I think when you trade those three guys, you might see Joe Harvey. Sure enough, Gomber gets hurt. We do see Joe Harvey come up now. He was put on the 40-man roster as Jordan Sheffield gets shifted to the 60-man. We talked about, hey, maybe Justin Lawrence becomes that guy. Sure enough, he was warming up there.
I was going to say they had him warming up. I was kind of hoping they'd just throw him into the fire.
And McMahon even got an at-bat late, I think, against Josh Hader in the ninth. And I go, you know what? I would love to be perfectly wrong. And McMahon does get the homer on Friday night. And he does do it against a lefty. So yeah. Boom, right there. Didn't happen, but again, it's one of the fun things looking in that crystal ball and trying to figure some things out. So, you know, Bardo, you know, he's been a really good member of the organization while he's been here. And, you know, it's hard, and I think that's something that you know, Dick Monfort can have some trouble with is having that loyalty. And, you know, it's not firing someone. It's different. You know, when you're loyal to your employees and to your company. And you and I saw that yesterday. We were at someone's wedding from the company. And it was great. Everyone was there and there was that unity. And it's like, yeah, no, we are a family. And there is just, again, loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. But in baseball, it is a business. And I think players and front office can understand, like, look, you traded me, that's fine, but you're also trading me to a better place. You haven't fired me. I haven't done anything wrong. So hopefully that'll be like a hurdle that this organization can get past a little bit, especially in this transition mode where you can have a great guy like Daniel Bard.
All you need to do
trade
is bring in the next Dan O'Dowd, man.
Bring in something good, bring in somebody good, but then you can still bring in another veteran guy that can lead the way that Daniel Bard did. So, you know, you can have your cake and eat it too and say, hey, we wish you well. Maybe you're pitching for those same Brewers. Maybe you're going to the AL, pitching with Cleveland or Chicago, and he's going to the postseason and winning a World Series there. It can be a win-win. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's this franchise has absolutely done that before, so it'll be interesting to see, yeah, which way they go, because Jeff Breidich was such a, I'm not going to make any transactions guy, and before him, Dan O'Dowd was, I'm going to make all the transactions all the time guy, and so it's like, maybe finding a happy in-between there, I think sure. would probably be a solid situation, and it's tough for Bill Schmidt right now, being an interim GM who knows he's not going to be the GM for this team moving forward. But you still have to execute a trade deadline, and he's still going to be a part of the team moving forward, almost certainly. And so he obviously has every incentive to help set the team up for success in the future. But it's tough when you're kind of setting up a roster that someone else is going to take over and ultimately decide to build on whatever foundation is put there, or you may even not finish setting the foundation. You may just help like finish drawing 2/3 of the blueprints and then have to leave the room. It's like, I don't know, here it's the best we got, but it's going to be a fascinating deadline, man. And the relievers, you just got to move them. You just got to move the relievers. So yeah. All right. A few other guys we should get into, guys that are putting smiles on our faces, big happy smiles, brought to you by our friends over at Green Mountain Dental. Check them out. Just 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver. They'll hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule your cleaning, x-ray, and exam today. Speaking of treating you like family, they know how to do it, especially when you've got those big, for some people like me, potentially scary dental procedures you've got to go through. They make it as comfortable and, dare I say, even fun as possible by getting you taken care of nice and fantastic. And you might need them if you've been eating a whole lot of Illegal Pete's lately, like I have been, swinging on by Illegal Pete's. You know it's delicious. You know it's fantastic. I don't need to sell you on the quality of Illegal Pete's. If you're from Colorado, if you're outside Colorado and you don't know what we're talking about, and you're like flying in sometime, you're coming in for the weekend, you're like, hey, I'm going to Coors. You know, sometimes people hit me up on Twitter and I might, you know, tell you to go by the DNVR bar and a few other spots. And I might forget Illegal Pete's because I'm so used to everybody here knowing what it is. But if you're from outside, man, you got to swing by. There's one right down there on Colfax just by the DNVR bar.
There's one 16th Street too, if you're doing that, if you're doing the 16th Street Mall. If you're going up to Boulder for even just sightseeing, you can see one on Pearl Street. There's even one up on the hill if you're taking in a game at Folsom Field for some CU Buffs. So they're in all of the hot spots you want to be at this summer in Colorado. Check them out.
And they're a huge part of the community. I don't know if they're still hiring and doing that whole thing, but you know they pay their workers extraordinarily well. They start them out at $15 plus tips and giving people like, and you get free food and all these discounts and all these perks for working there. They treat their workers really well. They're a big part of the community. And that's one reason why they're trying to encourage people to go out to events. If you show them a same day ticket to any event, it just says any event. I don't know if you went to a comedy show, if you went to a concert, obviously the ball game, whatever, take your ticket in. They'll hook you up with a free draft beer or house margarita with the purchase of an entree down there at Illegal Pete's, man.
And if it's on your phone, I mean, again, paper tickets, we know. You're thinking, oh, man, I got to print out. No. This is your phone. This is your ticket right now. It is on your phone. Yep. So you can go ahead and use that. And the other thing, too, that I learned was that I found interesting, and we don't have to dig into this at all, but like when you support local business, more of the money that you spend
stays in the community.
Goes to a corporation and stuff, and you get it because it's like, yeah, the corporation set that up, and you know, you've got the franchise fees and yada yada. But when you spend local, that money stays in the community.
Yeah.
So you get that money back too, in a sense. It's like, you know, when you for those folks, I always said when you get rich, but I don't know if anyone listening to this will get rich, but if one is rich and you you're donating money, right? And you're doing these charity things and you're like, oh, you paid how much for that in charity? It's really worth a quarter of that. That's okay. You get money back when you donate at a certain level. And so in a weird way, when you're supporting local businesses like Green Mountain Dental, Illegal Pete's, DNVR, Gabby Insurance, DNVR Mortgage, all of those, They are local businesses, and that money stays in the community, and so you get that back as well somewhere down the line. Yeah. It's great.
It's all about, like you said, community, and that's what our guy Charlie Blackman has been about, taking in this community, saying all the very nice things about Denver and Colorado and being a Rocky at a time when people aren't feeling particularly great about being a part of the Rockies family and being a part of the Rockies community. And we have talked about him really becoming the captain. And it's weird. Like, people might think, isn't it kind of always been a, but actually, no, like, not really. It was such a fair question you asked me in that last time we were in studio, because it was like, he was in that weird spot where, you know, Nolan was always kind of the obvious superstar player. And then during Charlie's best season ever, Nolan was maybe arguably slightly better, and Trevor was the hot new thing. And yeah, he was great. Right. And you had the time, the era before them belonged to Cargo and Tulo and all the stuff that went on there. And he really has finally embraced this Papa Bear or Big Brother. I think you're right. It's more of he's the big brother of the team, or kind of the fun uncle that introduces you to professional wrestling. That's literally how I got into it. My fun.
He's the Funkle. He's the Funkle.
The Funkle. Yeah. Mm. Is that what you want to be? Yeah. It's your fun uncle Dave who shows you the Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin when you're 13 years old and you're like, this is awesome. That's Charlie Blackman. And he's just there for these guys. He's doing the thing. The bat really has come alive. I thought he was going to walk it off there at the end. I really did, with representing the go-ahead run with Trevor on base. He thought base hit Trev, home run Charlie, ball game. Didn't go down that way, but still really nice to see. Because early on, after that first month, there were some people who went, that's it, Charlie's old.
Yeah. Especially after the way that last season ended, where he's batting 500, he's batting 400, and then he didn't even get to 300 by the end of the season. And you go, oh, shoot, man, he fell off. But it was, again, very, very small sample size. And you go, age is going to catch up to him. And it always does. It's still undefeated. A lot of the time, it has never lost. But he's still providing so much, to this team and playing through, again. Not that we know he's playing through injuries, but with a team like this, you got to do things a little bit extraordinarily. You got to make certain exceptions and say, look, I might be playing hurt here because we don't really have anybody else, and I need to maybe lead by example. And some of those things can happen in a season like this when you've got that transition. You have so many inexperienced young boys on the team, like the Rockies do, the Lost Boys, as it were. So hats off to Charlie for doing it. And, maybe we'll see him in the Home Run Derby. That really would be nice.
Be all right.
They usually have someone from the hometown team in the Derby. It'll either be him or Story. We'll see.
It'll be, yeah. And even if Mac is their representative, I wouldn't be surprised if they just let it kind of be the year of Ryan McMahon a little bit, especially if he hits a couple more. He can get to 20. What was he at, 16 right now? He can get to 20 by the All-Star game easy. So
it's funny. If you were doing a Home Run Derby and you had to choose two guys that were kind of, similar power numbers or power profiles, would you rather have a right-handed hitter or a left-handed hitter at Coors Field in a derby?
In a derby, you want to be a right-handed hitter.
I would also agree you'd want to be a right-handed hitter.
That Coors ball, the scoreboard and right.
Especially with the Breidich barrier.
And now the Breidich barrier, that's going to get some guys. There are going to be some dudes that hit some. Shohei Ohtani might hit a ball through the Breidich barrier. But those are going to be some annoying.
That should
count. Yeah. Yeah, I think it should. Because you got to get it up over that wall. There's a shorter wall for most of left there. Mm-hmm. You can just kind of hook it out. I do think it's even a little bit closer too, though. I'd have to look at that. I'd have to check the dimensions, but yeah, it's an interesting question.
Captain Blackman.
You mentioned the Lost Boys. Brendan Rodgers remains pretty good. It's kind of funny. We've almost gotten to this point now where him just kind of going one for four, having some nice at-bats, drawing a walk here or there, bringing the RBI in with the sac fly when he needs to, and you just kind of, it's just kind of become normal. And we've at least fully moved out of the stage where Brendan Rodgers couldn't hang that those first 100 at-bats where it looked ugly. I think I looked at like a negative 12 OPS plus, or I was like, I didn't even know you could do that. He's well past that. I mean, not putting up monster numbers by any means, but you know, the 756 OPS is solid for a guy who is essentially a rookie. I know he's actually exhausted rookie status, but really is just trying to make his way, still pretty young. We saw the pop on the road. Interestingly enough, he's the only guy. I think the Rockies have only hit. Because I was listening to the opposing
16 road home runs.
16 road home runs. And Rodgers has two of them, three, maybe. And they were all on that last road trip. And so, you know, that's kind of fascinating as well. So maybe he can help the offense a little bit when they go out on the road. Maybe he can be a part of the answer. But either way, it's just been fun watching Brendan Rodgers get to play all the time and being excited and not worried when he comes to the plate, right? When he walks up there, you're right. Like, oh, God, please don't strike out. Please don't strike out. Please don't strike out. Or hit a weak-ass grounder right at the first baseman. Like, you know he's got a chance to have a good at-bat, put the ball in play hard. Totally different Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, went 0 for 4 today, but as you said, no strikeouts. Again, putting the ball in play is good. He's hanging, which, hey, look, I get it. There are people that are probably going to be disappointed in that. When you got a guy who's a third overall pick, you're like, oh, you should be getting to the point of excelling. And he's not. I don't know that we're going to necessarily see that this season. I think he's going to kind of go the way of a lot of Rockies guys in recent memory, where, again, it took Ryan Altapia to hang around a little bit and figure out what it means to be a player over the course of a 6-month season. And now he's got it figured out. Even Ryan McMahon, where it kind of took him a little bit, where 2019 we thought would be his season of completely breaking out, didn't happen. And then we thought 2020, even in a short burst of a 60-game season, it would happen. Didn't happen, and now finally it's coming to fruition. So, you know, that could be the way that Rodgers ends up going. So it might not be until 2023 that we really see him have close to a McMahon or even Tapia type season this year. And again, that's fine. He's his own player. He's his own man. You know, once you draft a guy or once you sign a player and you give him a certain amount of money, whatever it is, you know, it's hard to look at. It's hard to look at certain details and the fine print that goes in with a contract, or that goes in with, you know, how you acquired a player. And you just have to say, well, what is this guy doing? Regardless of what he's getting paid or what is he doing, right? You kind of have to step away from that at times. You understand why it's part of the dialogue. I mean, he will forever be the third overall pick there in the 2015 draft.
Yeah.
But right now he is contributing, and he's finally doing it, and he's figuring it out. Because as we saw 1 year later, Riley Pyant, he's just done.
Yeah.
He's retired. So as it were, it is nice to see Rodgers out there getting, you know, regular playing time and Buddy really kind of mixing and matching nicely, where, you know, between Fuentes and McMahon at third base, Rodgers and McMahon at second base, Crone and Fuentes at first base. It's been going nicely. I think it's keeping everybody fresh. It's keeping all those guys off the IL, which is what you really like to see. So we'll see what happens. And Jonathan Daza too. Don't forget about him as he's been, you know, doing really well. He's got himself a nice little hit streak as well. 9 games. He's batting .389 during that stretch. He had his second home run. He's actually hit safely in 18 of his last 21 games, batting .364 in that span. So hats off to him. A lot of hats being taken off for these guys. That's the phrase that pays today. Hey, hats off to this guy.
Hats off. Toast to the Breck Brew to these guys. Because, yeah, I mean, they're – and Jonathan Daza, I went back and looked the other day because I had to remind myself, like, who all did I even make sure to 100% include? Actually, what I was checking for was to make sure that I had – and in my recollection was correct. I had written it before the Nolan trade. And so Austin Gomber was not a part of the Lost Boys, but it just occurred to me that he fit that definition perfectly, right? Where he was no longer a rookie. He was no longer a prospect. He's not even especially young. He's going to turn 28 this year, but he's a low experience, low wear and tear, long-term team control guy who's still growing in his value and obviously growing into his game. So again, that's why you go, well, the Rockies don't have any future because they don't have any prospects. And that's why I point to this group of players. Gomber fits perfectly right in there. Daza, I didn't even include. Daza was like an honorable mention, like at the end was like, oh yeah, and this guy could be a thing. I don't have much hope that he could be, but look out for maybe in there. Look, you could say the same thing, and I'd be more inclined to believe it about Daza than we said about Tapia, because it is rare that you can continue to be successful this way. I said, what did I say a couple of days ago? The home run, the only home run he had earlier in the year, that's the only type of home run that he can hit on fastballs coming in at him that he turns and hooks to left field. And that is exactly what he did today for his second one on the year. Like, all right, he knows what he's got. But you've got to just, again, tip the cap, take it off, do whatever, because until he stops, Tapia and Daza have become an incredibly fun contact machine, speed tandem, pull your hair out because you feel like you made your pitch and you've got runners first and third, nobody out a lot, or you know, the situation. They've been a lot of fun to watch. So good on Daza, man.
Yeah, in Baseball Reference, he's a little bit behind Raimel Tapia, and Fangraphs, he's actually a little bit above wins above replacement. So he's definitely been one of the biggest surprises. And that'll be something for a podcast down the road. You know, biggest surprises of the first half. Gomber, of course, has to be number one. And then I think Jonathan Daza probably would be number two right after that.
I think so. And you just reminded me, because I imagine his WAR – well, I know his WAR is – he's getting great contact hitting, but he's getting fantastic defensive numbers as well. He's been phenomenal out there. He made a stupendous catch, maybe his best catch of the season in this series, crashing into the center field wall and kind of laying out there and taking a minute to just breathe in. But he is an extraordinary defender. So if he can figure out how to keep making contact, if it's not the Rockies, he'll make himself a nice little career, whether it's with the Rockies or someone else or what. He'll be those guys you look back and you go, Jonathan Daza played 10 years in Major League Baseball. He was rarely a starter, this, that, or the other, but boy, can he go get the baseball. I love watching him play center field.
Yeah, only had the one hit today, but going into the day of outfielders in the National League with at least as many plate appearances as he had, only Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos, both of the Cincinnati Reds, had a higher batting average. So he was .331 on the day, finishes at .328. So, man, he's been doing it. He's Raimel Tapia light in a roundabout way. Yeah. And in some ways better, like you said, defensively. He can go and do that.
Yeah.
You said the pop. Yeah, he might not hit as many. I know Tapia's struggling to hit the long ball, but you know he'll – you'd probably put your money on Tapia to have not only just more home runs, but just extra base hits too on top of that. But yeah, those two have been fun to watch so far this year.
A lot. And in all of this fun talk about the Lost Boys and the young guys and who's proven that they can hang, let's not forget about the old fogies. Let's not forget about the old Kroners. In fact, let's not forget to name him our draft king of the game, CJ Krohn. And I think you were right to call him. This was your call. We went back and forth on this a little bit. You know, could have been Tapia, could have been a few other people as a part of that big rally there. But okay, Tap starts you with the single. Daza gets just his second home run of the year. Well, there's a jolt of electricity. Went from 6-0 to 6-2. Okay, and all of a sudden Eric Lauer has been pretty on top of things. You've rocked him back a little. But it's still a 6-2 ball game, right? Then Trev gets you one and drives the starter out of the game. So now you've entered a new phase of the baseball game, but you're still down 3, right?
Yeah.
And they've got a fresh arm coming in. Blackman gets a little single. Nice to keep that momentum going. Big play there. I think really the energy comes to the whole thing. CJ Krohn hits that monster home run in that moment. Suddenly, 5 minutes ago, it was a 6-0 game, and now it's a 5-6 game after that crone shot. And he just kept everything going. Had a couple of big ones on this homestand and really started to. We've talked about, of course, with these more veteran players, showcase himself a bit for any contending team that might be willing to part with a nice little young pitcher for a guy who can hit a baseball like that in a big moment for them, because it would appear. And remember the first 3 weeks where it looked like CJ Cronin had forgotten how to swing a baseball bat. And we thought
long time ago now, retire.
Like in the middle of this game, he might have to retire. And then I think he hit a home run at the end of that game, and he's been better since, but he's had a few other ugly stretches, but man, this homestand.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Four home runs, like you said, against the Padres and Brewers. 10 for 24, also had a double. 10 RBI over this homestand. So not only did he get it done today to earn the DraftKings Sportsbook King of the Game, but he did it this entire series and had one of the more memorable quotes when asked about, you know, losing on the road and trying to win on the road but falling flat. He said, well, you know, you got to win somewhere. Okay, I guess you do. So
got to win somewhere.
Got to win somewhere. All right, so let's win at Coors Field. Yeah, good idea. I'm fine with that.
Why not? Why not? You gotta love those guys. I liked Goody coming on and talking about him being a good source of lightening guys up and being. I think that was actually after I had to bounce. And I was listening to the show when the two of you were talking about his clubhouse presence, and as he was saying it, it reminded me of Mark Reynolds and the kind of role that he played on the team. And if you'll recall, like Reynolds was around a bit for that 17 run, not in 18, probably maybe could have, should have, would have. Go back and relitigate that one a little bit if you'd like. Ended up, I think, back in Washington for a minute. But he was, one of those guys that sometimes provided a whole lot of value on the field, sometimes less so. Everyone loved him, helped keep things light. You'll miss him when he's gone, but you know, he's probably not a big part of the team's future, but we may look back and go, yep, Croner, man. That was fun. Should have gotten 2 years ago. I wish they talk about my what ifs. I wanted him so bad.
Yeah, because again, well, you know, his he would have been paid a little bit more of a premium, you know, 2 years ago. Oh, yeah. And he was, you know, signing those 1 year deals, he was paid pretty well. But you know, you could have maybe, you know, create a little bit more cap room to bring him in to play first base. And then, dare I say, actually keep DJ LeMahieu and what could have been.
That's a God, that is a what if path that hurts to walk down, but it's very true. Anybody else that played well that we missed? I said no one pitched well. Right? Well, Estevez, you pointed that out, and that was good. He was fantastic today. Actually, you know who pitched well on the homestand? Jolie Chassin.
He did. What about Chi-Chi, who twice, again, did not get hit out of the park, gave up early runs, but gave them length, which at the end of the day, again, if you hear – you know, if again, you're, it's almost like a simulated game. You're more of the gamer than I am, but MLB The Show, if you say, all right, you know, he gave up 6 runs today, you know, which is a lot more than the first outing. But you go, all right, well, you know, on against a team, maybe you think you're not supposed to hang around with, but it ends up being tied essentially by the point that he comes out of the game. Again, I might be spinning it just a bit there, but you know, was able to at least give them some length before the Brewers, you know, cashed in with that fifth run in the fourth, and then that one more in the sixth. But if you would have been able to kind of come out of there a little bit more unscathed, 4 runs with about 6 innings pitch, we know that's a Coors Field quality start.
Yeah, I've always, you know, really admired and appreciated the way Chi-Chi can just put his head down and keep going out there and getting outs when he's getting tagged on his mistakes, because like, I can't do that plan. It's talking about simulations and me being a gamer and stuff. Like, if I had the kind of first 2 innings that Chi-Chi had, I'd have turned the game off. I'm just like, I don't have it right now. Every mistake, I can't get away with one mistake. Like, I'd love to make a mistake and have it get hit right at the shortstop. And it happens to me, happens to our guys, right? You see, it just happened at the end of the ball game. Tapia, Blackman, both hit the ball really hard, but the first baseman makes nice plays. Ball game. And then Cheech is like, every time I make a mistake, it's in the gap or down the line or over their heads or over the wall. Or I can't. Come on. Give me one hard one right at the fielder. One. But he gets the outs, man. And so, yeah, we forgot. I think we had talked about it earlier because it happened so many days ago. But Marquez did pitch well, obviously, in his outing.
Yep.
We talked about that with Goody, just the three strikeouts. But other than that, six innings of one hit baseball. And when you go back and look at all of the offense that was put up against all of the pitchers, relievers and otherwise, it was Germán Márquez and Josh Hader were basically the only people who managed to walk out of there unscathed.
Yeah. Yeah. For anyone that is frustrated in Chi-Chi and does not want to see him again for a while, your wish has been granted. Rockies do have an off day on Monday as well as an off day on Thursday, one of those weird night game followed by a day game up in Seattle. So that's two days where they will not need a starter. Of course, Austin Gomber should have been in that mix. He is not. And then, as you said, Germán Márquez, you know, doing well at home, should be and is scheduled to make the first start back on Monday, June 28th against the Pirates for what is being dubbed opening day 2.0. That's a good day to get tickets for. I think like a 3:30 start. It's like earlier. It's much earlier game. Yeah, so they have the, I don't know if they're going to do a flyover, but I think they're going to do some fireworks. They'll unfurl the gigantic flag and all that jazz. So that will be a good one to be at. So whether it's Márquez or Freeland or John Gray, you know it's going to be exciting. And it's against the Pirates. So that's, again, you say, oh, okay, you can again really feel good. Lines up pretty nicely.
Yeah.
You think you can win two out of three against the Pirates, especially since you owe them a little bit of a beatdown for getting swept in.
Definitely owe those guys. You mentioned Gray had another solid rehab outing. Did give up a home run, but I think just two earned runs in six innings, 62 pitches.
And it was in Reno, so it may have been a sacrifice bunt
that just stayed in the
got into the Gulf Stream.
Yeah.
Could have been.
You never know. So yeah, should be an interesting couple of weeks coming up, dude. This schedule is stupid.
Seattle and then the Brewers again, who you know, again, they end up leaving here with a series split and they win the last two, but they have to be boarding that plane like those freaking Rockies. Like,
yeah,
what?
What even?
Who were those guys? Because
we almost get
they were really, those guys? Really good, and they're not supposed to be.
No.
So that does make you worry a little bit. Like, oh man, are we?
Those are the wins again.
What's this road trip going to be like?
I'm promising this is the last one, but only because we're about to wrap up my final video game analogy of the day. But yeah, those are the ones when you win a game like that against a team you feel like you should beat that you're better than, and then you hit a two-run home run in the ninth inning with one away and barely get out of there with a W. You don't put down the controller like, yeah, I'm the best, I beat that guy, suck it, buddy. You put it down mad that you won. Even you're like, shouldn't
it was 6-0.
Yeah.
This was in the friggin' bag.
We're up 6-0.
We don't have to go to the bullpen at all. Eric Lauer is cruising along through five innings. The Rockies had gone a spell without even having a hit. They only had two hits going into that the sixth inning before Tapia, you know, got it going. And you go, all right, wow, this is exactly what we needed, because they didn't have the luxury of having two off days in four calendar days. They're still going. They got to go to Arizona. That's nice for them. But they're not going to get an off day until Thursday. I think they had a really long streak or something like, you know, 21 games in 23 days, something like that. And yet, yeah, you're right. The Rockies made them still kind of put down that remote, that controller down a little bit firmly.
Yeah.
A little bit firmly and frustratedly.
Yeah, I promise you, Craig Counsell is not happy right now, despite the fact that they snuck out those last couple wins. So
yeah, he should be. Yeah.
See if the Rockies can keep playing spoiler all year long. Hang out with us on social media at Drew Kreisman, at Patrick D. Lyons, at Michaela E. Perkins, who will be making her triumphant return to the DMVR Rockies podcast and live shows for you next week. So make sure you're joining us. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel so you can make sure you get all the graphics that we're putting up there on screen. Going to be having fun, especially now that we're going to have the graphics department a little more to ourselves over the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a lot of fun, be able to play some games, hang out, do some fun stuff with all you guys, because we know that sometimes the baseball is a little rougher. Sometimes it's great. We can talk about it like we did today. Sometimes we're going to goof off. Either way, we're going to do it like family. Do subscribe to the DNVR.com, all that good stuff. Follow on social media. Just keep being absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. We promise to continue being absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.
Happy Father's Day. We love you, Larry and Dennis.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.